hearts cry out. I was, let me tell you my whole sermon preparation this week. Kind of crazy because I was going to do the regular Palm Sunday thing, you know, and go through all the times and all the prophecies and all those things and probably put everybody to sleep with mathematical equations, right? Well, we don't need that, amen? We don't need that. We need to wake up by faith, amen? The church needs to wake up and realize what time it is, amen? It's not howdy duty time anymore. It's howdy, we got duty, and it's time, right? It's time for us as the body of Christ to realize what time it is. See, the Hebrews didn't know what time it is when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on the exact day that he was supposed to. They should have known because of the mathematical equations that Daniel gave through Gabriel. Gabriel gave to Daniel, and he said that from the decree of to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, come on, I said I wasn't going to do this. How do I got to? Okay, sure. All right. From the decree from Alexerxes. Okay, and that was in 445 B.C. He said, from that decree, it would be so many years, so many days. It was 400 and so on. It would be exactly on that day, exactly on that time, that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem to be cut off. And there was another prophecy by Zechariah 9:9, that says he's going to drive in on a certain kind of Cadillac, right? He's going to be driving in on a colt of an ass, on a colt of an ass, on a donkey's baby, right? And this is how he's going to come in. And your Messiah will be coming in exactly on this day, exactly on that vehicle. And guess what? Exactly 173,888 days on that morning, Jesus rode in on that donkey. Amen. On that exact one that was talked about hundreds of years before Jesus was born.
Yes.
And a week later, Jesus would die on a cross for my sin. Woo! Praise God. Not only would he die, 3 days after that, he would raise again from the dead.
Amen.
But the people weren't ready for him. Although they came to him worshiping, saying, Hosanna, save now. Hosanna, save now. Son of David, Hosanna, save now. They didn't realize who he was because they called him a great prophet, the prophet. Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. Oh, but he was much more than a prophet. Amen. He was God, manifested in the flesh.
Amen.
All right? And he was born for this very time, for this very season.
Yes.
None of it came to a shock to him. And like in heaven today, God is not sitting on the throne, scratching his head. I wonder what's happening. He is absolutely, totally in control.
Amen.
You got belief in that? I believe that. I believe that with the fullness of my heart. That not one thing is happening by accident. That none of this is happenstance. That it was planned. It was foretold. And that it's happening.
That's it.
And you, generation, this generation of the church, right now, you need to be excited.
Amen.
Amen. You need to be excited.
Bless God.
As the Lord was coming into Jerusalem, we're going to go to the scripture. And I was telling you I was going to plan it this way. I was going to do all the math stuff and all that, and I was going to blow your mind with my mathematical genius of a sixth grader, right? So let you know how unprepared that is. I was going to regurgitate some stuff that Sir Robert Anderson had written way back in the 1800s. Right? Now, he's a great math man, and he did a good job. But me doing that would be like me actually up here trying to dance for you. It would be really awkward. Okay, so as I was praying and I was asking the Lord, God, what should I really do? What should I teach about? I was reading the accounts of Jesus, and there's something that came out of Jesus' mouth that broke me yesterday morning. I was reading it, and as the Pharisees told Jesus to tell his disciples to be quiet, he said, if these were to be quiet, the stones would cry out.
Right.
I said, wow. The government's telling us to be quiet.
Right.
The doctors are telling us to be quiet.
Yes.
The scientists are telling us to be quiet. How about it, stones? Are we going to cry out?
Praise God.
How about it, stones? Are we going to cry out? Is this the day that Jesus was talking about? Now, I always read that story, and I always understood it as the rocks that were on the ground that he was coming up to Jerusalem for. In my mind's eye, that's what I always thought of it until yesterday. And this is not a new thing, but I see often throughout the Bible that God would do something in the Old Testament in a picture form for something that would happen later on.
Yeah.
Right? And could have this been Jesus talking about these living stones. Yeah. Do you know that you're a living stone?
Amen.
We're going to talk about that. Do you know that you are the temple of the Most High God? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what literally happened unto Jesus on this day and how it reflects in 2020. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready for it?
Let's go.
You got on your belt buckles or seat belts. Say, I was brought up in a years where they didn't have seat belts. You know what we did have? My mom had a snap on her purse. And if we got raised too much cane in the back seat, she would unsnap that purse. She would whip that thing around. And oh, boy, it'd make you wish you were buckled up. Amen. So we're going to buckle up. We're going to get ready. Amen. And I pray that we are ready for this. And I'm going to challenge you this next week that you go and you read all four Gospels, the account of this particular, the things that happened during this week. Oh, there's so much written about what happened during the Passion Week of Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, will the rocks cry out? Luke chapter 19. Now, to set this all in proportion for you in your mind, you got to know that Jesus, a couple days ago, was in a town called Jericho. He was in Jericho, and as he was coming through Jericho, he saw Zacchaeus. All right? And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so bad. He was a tax collector. And Jesus said, hey, Zac, tonight I'm going to eat at your house. Get ready. And then Jesus told Zacchaeus, in that time, he said to Zacchaeus after they had eaten, this day salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Take that and put it in your pocket.
Amen.
All right, take that right there. That was Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. All right, now Jesus talking, and he's about ready to start heading to Jerusalem. He was in Jericho first, and then he starts heading up to Jerusalem. I said, God, how far is that? And so I looked it up, right? It's 20-mile hike. It's a long way to walk uphill. And remember, in Jesus' time, they didn't have a lot of four-wheel drive cars, anything like that. In fact, Jesus walked everywhere he needed to go. And so he had a 20-mile hike. When was the last time you went on a 20-mile hike? Uphill. 20 miles uphill. All right, so it ain't no small task. On the way uphill, on the way to Jerusalem, he also found some blind men, two blind men that needed to be healed. God still stopped and touched those men. Although he knew the job that was laid before him, he stopped. He had compassion on those folks. Amen. And he came to a place called Bethage. And he stopped there for the night. It wasn't far outside of Bethany. And when he was there, he told his disciples to go out because there was a ride prepared for him. Amen. So here we are in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28. I told you all that to get to this part. And when they had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethage and Bethany, at the mount called Mount Olives, the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples, saying, go ye unto a village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if the man ask you why you loose him, thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him.
Right.
And they went their way and they did it. Now, imagine us in 2020. Fella comes, Mike, you're a farmer. Fella comes up to your house, jumps on your tractor. Says, hey, I'm taking your tractor. Wait, what are you taking my tractor for? Because that's really what a mule was, a donkey was in those days, right? I'm taking your tractor. And he says, well, the Lord needs it. Always remember to let go of your tractor. Okay? Right? I always remember, let go. If God needs it, let it go. Amen. If God needs it, if God needs to use you, let it go. If God wants to do something in you, let it go. If God asks you for something that's valuable to you, let it go.
Amen.
Let it go. So this man got blessed. We don't know who he was. We don't know much about him except that. Okay, so Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem in verse 32. And they that were sent went their way, and they found as he had said. And as they loosed the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And he went, and they spread their clothes in the way. We're gonna back up here. Let's go to Matthew, because I like his account of this particular time pretty good. And so in this, verse chapter 21 in Matthew, and here's how the whole account goes, just as it went before. 21 and verse 1, they drew nigh to Jerusalem, and there were at Bethage, unto the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent his two disciples and said, go to the village. So the whole account is the same. Verse 4, and as this all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet Zechariah, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, the colt of the fold of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus had commanded them, and they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cutting down branches of trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes went before, and that followed. Now catch this. There were multitudes. There were before him and behind him. So there are the folks in front of him, and there are the folks in the middle, behind him. Jesus in the middle riding the donkey. And the multitudes followed, and they all cried out, Hosanna, which means save now, to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now when all these things were happening, there were some Pharisees in the midst of the crowd. We're back in Luke. And the reason I say you need to read all four Gospels in this account, because when you read all four Gospels, you're getting the same story through four different sets of eyes.
Amen.
All right, and here let me explain this a little bit, because I know a lot of young believers have a hard time with, wow, if you got four Gospels, they all say something different. Let's say Stephanie and I and Dad and Stu were outside and we were doing something together. And a couple years after we're doing that together, we decided to all write a story or our account of that day. What was important to Stephanie, she would write. What was important to Deb, she would write. What was important to me, I would write. Mm-hmm. All right? Whatever the Holy Spirit would allow us to remember, that's what we will put down. But if you took all four of those accounts in the Gospel and you read them together as a story, found the things that were in sync, and then noticed the things that were different, what you're going to end up with is a 3D printed image of what was actually happening at the time. So when you read these four different Gospels and you're seeing these little, what we might consider inconsistencies in the story, it's just different enough to let you know this is a real thing that happened.
Amen.
All right? The important stuff is important. Zechariah said it was going to happen on a certain vehicle. Daniel said it was going to happen on a certain day. The disciples went and found exactly what Zechariah said it was going to be. Jesus told them before they ever got there that it was going to be this way, and they're going to have to talk to the farmer who owned it. All of those things are very important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens next will reveal what you believe about God. Jesus riding into Jerusalem. The crowds on all sides of him crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Some are taking off their coats and their garments. In verse 39 of 19 of Luke, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude, where were the Pharisees at? Among the multitude. All right? So, and amongst all of the folks who were worshiping God for the knowledge that they had of Jesus Christ, there were some there that got offended.
Right?
There were some that got offended. They were called Pharisees. All right? Most Pharisees, they're offended because they're more holy than you are. Right? So even the modern-day Pharisees, they still get offended at you. They get offended at a preacher that doesn't know all the silent letters. you know, where they're hidden, or can't pronounce words just right. Well, you offend me because you didn't say prophet so-and-so by the right letter. You forgot that silent A that was in there.
Hey.
Well, it was silent. Why did it matter? Anyhow, but you see, and people, smart people get offended. And the multitude said unto him, he said, Master, the Pharisees said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. If these were to hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now that was in Jesus' time. Okay, we know that the Hebrews rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He said, if you could have accepted me at that time, that the kingdom would come, if you could just accept it way back then. But God knew that the Gentiles needed to be grafted into the vine. Right? He knew that this time would come and that they would reject Him and that the people who were not a people would be called into Him. Mm-hmm. And you know what Peter calls us? Living stones.
Amen.
Amen? Flip, if you were, over to 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 2. All I get, because the Bible answers all these things. Now, in my mind, which I have always thought and always taught, he was talking about the rocks on the ground. All right? May have been. And he may have been looking at the rocks when he told that. But only God knew that he was going to graft in a people who were not a people and make them a chosen people. Amen? Only God knew that. And Peter was with him when that happened. And Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, I have it starting in verse 2, but why start in 2 when you can start in 1? Amen?
Amen?
Let's start in the beginning and work our way down. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envy, and all evil speaking, we're supposed to lay aside what? Our evil thoughts and our emotions,
Amen.
Right? Lay those things away. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. All right, newborn church, what are you supposed to desire? The milk of the Word, the Bible. You're supposed to be desiring this. And in desiring that means I want it.
Amen.
Does the church want the Word of God?
Yes.
Unfortunately, by the majority, no. And I hate to say that because it's going to make some people really mad. But there are a lot of people who are Christian, been Christian for a long time and never read their Bible.
Amen.
Whose fault is that? It's theirs. Because didn't they have it? Wasn't it there? All you had to do is turn off Facebook and open it up.
Amen.
All you had to do is stop Googling for a second and open it up.
Amen.
All you had to do is turn off CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and all of those other things and stop watching those soap operas, WWF or some General Hospital and some of those things that you waste your time with. Turn that off and open your Bible. Are you desiring the sincere milk of the Word? And so the born again, if you have so tasted that the Lord is gracious, let me ask you, do you know God's gracious?
Blessed.
That He's calling out the rocks to start screaming out His name, that He's calling out the stones to start coming alive, that He's calling out us to be something more than what we think we are in Christ Jesus? Verse 4, to whom coming unto us, unto a living stone, disallowed indeed by men, but chosen of God and precious. Jesus was disallowed by the people of His time. The Pharisees rejected Him. The Hebrews rejected Him. His own family rejected Him. In fact, when He died on the cross, nobody was there except for His mom and Magdalene and maybe a couple of other ladies. None of the disciples were there. They all had left Him. They all had deserted Him. They all moved away. Oh, but God never left Him. He was precious before the Lord God. He was holy. He was needful. All right, and it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. We'll get to that if the Lord allows us. All right, and ye also, who? Ye,
us.
Y'all, you, we's. See, I know all my English language, right? I know. We, ye guys, also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood,
Amen.
To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Living stones.
Amen.
Who's supposed to cry out? When the people of God, the Hebrews, refuse to worship the Lord, because just remember, in 7 days from now, the same ones that sang Hosanna, save now Lord Jesus, who comes in the name of David, the son of David, who comes, we read it, my mind is going like splat all over the sides of my skull on the inside. So right now, know this, that you are living stones, that they rejected Him, we accepted Him.
Amen.
And God knew that those things were going to happen, that the Hebrews would turn away from their Savior. They turned away from the Messiah. And they did that we might have a chance to come
Amen.
In. Praise God for that. Amen. And now we're living stones. Why ain't we celebrating God?
Hallelujah.
Amen. This is the first time in the birth of the church, in the history of the church, where the majority of the church is afraid to come together on this day.
Right.
They'll be afraid next week too.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. For shame.
Amen.
The rocks ain't crying out.
Yeah. Right.
What if the rocks cry out? What if the church of Jesus Christ cried out? I tell you what, folks, and I believe this. Oh, I believe this so much within the deepest part of my spirit. I believe that if the body of Christ, the ones who are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, would start crying out and cry out for this week.
Amen.
Cry out for this week. Cry the whole week. Weep, mourn, fast, pray, hunger, thirst for the righteousness of God. Oh, if we would do this, what would God do?
Amen.
He would heal the land. Amen, brother. I tell you what, I really, really, really believe this.
Yes.
If the church, if the rocks would cry out.
Amen.
Oh, what would
Amen.
Happen?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there is no vaccine for this virus. There never will be. I know that the government, no matter how much money they print, will ever fix this virus. They never will.
God.
All right. Amen, God. You said it. But God. But God. But God. Things look rough, but God is still in charge.
Hey.
Things are bad, but God is still able to heal.
Amen.
Things are we look like death, but God is still able to raise the dead.
Amen.
But God, He's willing, He's able, He's capable, and He's waiting for the rocks to cry out.
Amen.
Oh, when I read that, oh, if the rock would cry out, it broke me, it crushed me. Because I never thought of it like that. I never thought that we are living stones in Jesus, although He may have been talking to the Pharisees about something very physical. He was saying, the rocks.
Amen.
My people, the ones who are praising me today, next week are going to hate me, call me to be crucified. Oh, but there are some rocks coming. There are some rocks coming. There are some living stones that are going to be born again.
Yes.
Through the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's some, although there's some will reject Him, there's some that will hold on to Him.
Right.
Oh, and we are to be built up a spiritual house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what would happen if the temple of God, if the temple of God would worship Jesus? Oh, but you are the children of God. Amen.
Bless God.
Verse 5 again. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. How? What kind of sacrifices?
Spiritual.
Spiritual. What does it mean to offer up a spiritual sacrifice? Temple of God? Oh, wait. Do y'all realize that you are the temple of God?
Yes, we are.
All right. I mean, wait a second. Let's get all that together in harmony now. Do you realize that you're the temple of God?
Amen.
Yes.
Say it like you mean it.
You are.
Yes. Amen. You are. You're the temple of God. You are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And now is that Mr. Curtis telling you that?
Nope.
It may have come out of my mind, but where is it at in the Word of God? Amen. It's in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just because you don't know I'm crazy enough. Oh, come on. 1 Corinthians 3. Come on. Oh, I flip past it every time.
Keeps us humble.
Amen, he does. He keeps us humble. Oh, where would I be? Verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Wake up, stones!
That's right.
Wake up, stones!
Amen.
Wake up! Wake up! Praise God! Don't you know that you are the temple of God?
Amen.
It's not a building built with hands, but it's the mass of God where He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Stones!
Amen.
You temple of God! You are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen. Do you know it? Do you know that inside of you, inside of your heart, inside of your body, inside of you right now, is the power that spoke the world into existence?
Amen.
Do you know? Do you believe it? Do you have faith in that? I believe, church, if the church of Jesus Christ would rise up, humble themselves before God, cry out His name with a fullness, with a brokenness. What was that word we looked up the other night, honey? Anguish.
Yep.
Anguish. Where's your brokenness? Where's your anguish for your sin? Oh, you're the temple of God, are you? You're the temple. And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy.
Amen.
Wow, you're the temple of God, and you're allowing some garbage into your life? Jesus is going to destroy. Which is beautiful, because that ties into what Jesus did when he rode into Jerusalem. What's the first house he stopped at? The temple of God. Amen. So, back again, 19, verse 45. Luke 19, 45. Okay. Jesus riding on his colt. Man, I got my colt by my side. I'm riding in on a colt. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Folks are singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the Pharisees, the religious folks, are blowing their minds out. Make your disciples be quiet. And Jesus rides right up into his house. Right up into the temple. And what's he see there? Sin, debauchery,
amen.
Greed, yeah. Lust, perversion of every sort in the house of God, in the temple of God, which you are.
Amen.
Oh, church.
Amen.
Oh, church. Do you need Jesus to come kick over some stuff in your house?
Amen.
Amen. Is there some garbage on your table right now in your house, in your mind, in your body? Don't you know that you are the temple of God? And if you defile this temple, God will destroy you?
Amen.
Not my word, but the Bible.
Bless him.
Amen. Amen. And do you believe what the Bible says? Do you believe that?
You better believe it.
You better believe it, because whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
The cool thing about the truth, you ain't got to believe it, because it will happen.
Amen.
So Jesus is talking about the church, or Paul was talking about the church. Jesus rode into the temple, and they were doing ungodly stuff there. They were selling things. First thing as he did, as he kicked over the tables, all those who were selling doves, he ran them out. And then it says, he refused anybody with any vessel in their hand to come through the temple. Any vessel. Are you carrying something you ain't supposed to be carrying? What's in that vessel that you love so much? Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish I had my dumb phone. I'd hang it up. I'd show it to you right now. Smartphone, dumb phone, whatever. Smartphone, make dumb people. All right? The internet, all right? That garbage, what we watch on TV, what we put into our minds, our lives, all that stuff that we're being bombarded with. How many folks this week have heard anything good about anything? It's all been about this stupid flu. Now, there's a stupid flu around, but why is it here? Remember what we studied a couple weeks ago? 2 Chronicles 7? And we all say, oh, if we would just humble ourselves and pray. But what does it say before that? God said through Ezra, he said, when I send, or if I send a famine, or a locust, or a pestilence, when I send that, then you're supposed to pray. And he says, this is what the sin that will cause that, if you look in verse 19, when my people forget my commandments and walk away from my statutes. When the people of God move away from the Word of God, move away from the commandments of God, and start doing the things that are right in their sight, and not the right the things that are right in his sight, God says, I'm going to stop you.
Amen.
I'm going to stop you.
Amen.
I'm going to stop you. Church. World, do you think this virus is a mistake?
No.
And I guarantee you, those scientists who say that you're actually a monkey's uncle, you're a mistake that happened. Two rocks collided in outer space a gazillion million years ago, and you came out of that? You believe them?
Stupid.
They've been trying to make a vaccine for the regular flu for 100 years. Still don't have it. Do you think they're going to get anything that's going to fix this? No, but I guarantee you this. If the rocks would cry out, if the people of God would fall on their face before the Lord, if we would humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, if we would confess our sin, if we would repent from our sin, if we would come back to the statutes of God and the commandments of God, God promises, I will hear your prayer. I will heal your land. And until us wicked church people get it right, it ain't going to get right.
Amen.
You can't expect the unsaved to know this. You can't expect the doctors to know this. You can't expect the scientists to know this. You can't expect the government to know this. It is the body of Christ that should know this. And the government can't help you. The scientists can't help you. But God alone can help you. God alone can help you. And I will not fear. I will not fear. They say that, oh, if you breathe this, you're probably going to die. No, like I said, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. Get used to the thought nobody lives forever. Not here, amen. Now, the real you will live, but this body of flesh, this body of sin, guess what? It's going to die. Glory to God. There's coming a day that this corruption will put on incorruption.
Amen.
Praise God. Glory to God. There is a day that Curtis Smith will wake up one day and never have sin again. Wow! You praise God. There'll be no viruses in heaven. There'll be no sickness in heaven. There'll be no tears in heaven. You get to be with the Most High God all the time. Amen. You ain't got to read your Bible. You can be with the Word of God. Amen. Oh, church, stones. Will you cry out? Well, the church is small today in numbers because we're feared.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong as I say this. There is a real virus out there and people are really dying. Heard yesterday that 600 people in New York died. And I got to thinking, well, how many folks die normally in New York in a day?
Right, exactly.
Right? I mean, yeah, 600 died of the virus. How many died normally? So I Googled it. All right, I got a computer too. I Googled it and I looked at it. You know how many folks normally die of just heart disease and cancer?
Right.
580 folks.
Right.
Every day in New York, every day they die.
Yeah.
Every day. Every day. And that's just heart attack and cancer. That isn't talking about the drunk drivers, all right? That isn't talking about the heroin overdoses. That isn't talking about the abortions that go on every day in New York. That isn't talking about the gang violence where people shoot each other every day in New York. It ain't talking about none of that. That's just heart attacks and cancer. 580. Ooh, 600 people died of the virus.
Yeah.
Do you think it shocked God one second? And like we talked about when we first started this, I was telling you what I truly believe, that God knows every sparrow that falls to the ground.
Amen.
He knows every person that is born. He knows how long you're going to be on this earth. You're not going to live one second longer than what you're supposed
Amen.
To. All right, who says that those 600 people that died of the virus weren't going to die anyhow?
Right? Mm-hmm.
Who can say that these 600 people that died of the virus, that was their end date anyhow? Lock yourself in your basement. Stay away from church. You might breathe somebody else's breath. You might catch the virus. You know what? If God wants you to catch that virus, if you wrap yourself in cellophane tightly around your head where you can't touch it. In fact, I was looking at it. I almost had my mind. I'm thinking about buying one of these from the Army Surplus Store. A complete chemical suit. Right? With the gas mask and all that kind of stuff. I think I'm going to preach from it next week. If I can get it in, boy, wouldn't that be neat? Sitting right here with a full chemo suit, right? My big old fat black rubber gloves, my Mickey Mouse boots on, zipped up, tied up, all that kind of stuff. And you know, if God wants that virus to get me, it'll get me.
That's right.
Amen?
Right.
I don't care how many face masks you wear, how many rubber gloves you got on.
Amen.
I don't care how far you stay away from people. If you're going to die of this virus, guess what? You're going to die of this virus.
Amen.
And if it's your day to die and you don't have the virus, you're going to get hit by a truck. All right? Or whatever. Your heart, you might be one of those well-manicured people that run 5 miles a day, every day. Right? And there's nothing wrong with you at all. There's not a blood clot in your body. There's not one cell that's out of place. And the Lord calls your name, guess what?
You're out of here.
Alright? Like the big umpire, you're out of there. Right? Doesn't matter. And we're so wrapped up. So the world is so gripped by fear. We know that God gave us a spirit of fear, right?
No.
No.
Amen. Somebody got that right. He did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us God in 2 Timothy 1:7. I've heard this said so many times. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen?
Amen.
Where's my power at? What did God give me? He gave me a spirit of love. Right? A spirit of love, all right? And a sound mind. Power. He gave me a spirit of power.
Amen.
It tells us in Mark, because of the power of God that lives in me, I'm able to walk on serpents and drink any evil or any poisonous thing.
Bless.
Now, I'm not saying, folks, go out there and grab you a big old glass of arsenic and take a drink. All right? That's not what I'm saying, all right? No, don't do that, because you'll die. You will meet the Lord quickly after that. I mean, you'll die. Your body will do that. But if God needed me to do that, I could be like Paul that got bit by that serpent.
That's right.
And I could shake that thing off in a fire.
Right.
But God gave him the ability to not die from that.
Amen.
All right? That serpent had no power over him. The venom in that serpent had no power in him. Now, all of the other people on that island knew that serpent when it bit him. They said, that man must die. He was a criminal. God's going to get you for it, Paul. And all Paul did is he shook it off in the fire.
Praise God.
This virus, how many of y'all are so scared you're afraid to shake it off in the fire? All right, shake it off. Or is some new giggly singer out there talks about shaking it off. Who knows? Anybody know that new modern girly girl? Anyhow. Praise God, we don't listen to that kind of garbage here, so we don't know what it means, but I'm trying to think of her. She is a big...
Taylor Swift.
Who?
Taylor Swift.
Sid, yeah, that's it. Taylor Swift. We knew one was out here. No. Taylor Swift, what's she supposed to do? Shake it off. You shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. First, anyhow, I ain't going to talk about her. I don't know her. We have a spirit of power.
Amen.
We do. And in that power, I can love. I can agape.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
If I'm caught in fear, guess what I don't have?
Right.
Power. I don't have confidence. I don't have courage. I don't have love.
Self-discipline.
Self-discipline. Amen. Right? I got the power of self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And look, I got my little nappy wipe here. Right? I do this a lot. I don't have a lot of time where I can go stand hours during the day and wash my hands in the sink. But I can Clorox myself, right? That's all. I don't know. Okay. John the Baptizer, y'all know about him, don't you? Amen. He was before Jesus, but he was more. Yeah, he was so humble. He said, "I can't even latch his sandals." But there's one coming that's greater than I.
Amen.
John the Baptizer, Luke chapter 3, verses 7 and 9. And then he, which meaning John, to the multitude that came forth unto the baptism of him, meaning John, he called them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore the fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, that we have Abraham to our father. Look at what John was saying to the Hebrew people of his time. He said, listen, folks, recognize who you are, generation of vipers. All right? And many of us say, well, we're Christian, we're not that. Just because you call yourself a Christian, that don't make it so.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Just because you flap it out with your lips, that don't make it true.
Amen.
Right? And I've said this, and I'll say it 1,000 times more. If I come to your house and I call myself a mechanic, and I have all my car tools, run me off. All right? Because I'm lying to you. I am not a mechanic. I will break whatever you give me, and it cannot be fixed. That's not my gift. Show me a wrinkle in your rug, that I can take care of. Right? But outside of that, that's outside of me. I can't do those things. Understand who he was talking to. He was talking to the religious people of John's time, Jesus' time. He called them a generation of vipers. Who warned them of the wrath that is to come? Church, who's warning you of the wrath that's to come? God said, listen, you know, you're not appointed to wrath.
Right.
All right? You're not. But all the stuff that comes before the wrath, guess what? He's got to glean out the righteous from the unrighteous.
Amen.
He's got to take the tares away from the wheat.
Yeah.
He's going to make a clear-cut dividing side. Who's on my side and who's not? Who is in Christ and who just looks like they're in Christ?
That's right. Amen.
Oh, there's a lot of tares in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus told us not to worry about them tares. Don't mess with them. They're terrible. Just let them grow up with you. Because if we go trying to, George, you nasty old tear, I'm going to rip you out. If I was to rip you out, I'd tear out Steph, and I'd tear out these folks and those folks, because your roots are all gathered together. Not that you are a tear, I'm just picking on you because you're close. And so we're Stu. You know, I'm the Mike, we already know about you. No, you're a blessing, you're a saint of the Most High God, and I love you. And so anyhow, those tares, they're gathered together until when? The harvest.
Right. Amen.
Just before the harvest, Jesus said, I'm going to send my angels down. I'm going to separate them out. Who's to say that God didn't tell the angel to come down here with the virus and separate out the true believers from the fake believers?
That's right.
Who's to say that that didn't happen? Mm-hmm. And I ain't going to call one that doesn't come and one that does come. I don't know your heart. I absolutely don't know. But I do know that Jesus said he's going to separate them out.
That's right.
He's going to separate the sheep from the goats too.
That's right.
Y'all have told us not to be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Scaredy cats. Amen. We think that we have power over life and death, whether we come or go. You don't.
Amen.
You don't. Yeah, right. Just because you're here, just because you're somewhere else, that doesn't mean you ain't going to die, or somebody that you don't know isn't going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I love my aunt and my uncle. I absolutely love them. Aunt Booby and Uncle Garland. Uncle Garland was the man that I set as my picture of manhood when I was growing up. I had a lot of guys in my life, but I didn't have nobody who was a man except for him. And this thing has them so scared that they're locked up in their house in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Now they own acres of land in the middle of the woods. Okay? They're so scared they can't come out of their house.
Mm-hmm.
He's 84 years old. Why can't he get outside and plant his tomatoes? Because he's froze by fear.
That's right.
Oh, church, this verse 8 comes to us from Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and bring not and begin not to say that we have Abraham our father. How would that translate to us today? The church, the ones who call themselves born again. Notice how I said that? You call yourself born again? All right. We say we're born again, but are you really born again?
Amen.
Right? This is a check. Check your salvation daily. Right? Now, I'm not throwing stones at you. I don't know if you are or you ain't. Ain't none of my business. All I can do is take care of this one.
Amen.
All right. So today, we shouldn't fool ourselves because we said a prayer when we were 5 years old, or we attend a certain church building or a religious organization. A lot of folks go to a lot of churches all around the world. They say that they're saved, but if you look at them, they don't know God.
Amen.
You won't know.
Walk the talk.
There you go. You got to walk the talk.
If you're going to open your mouth about God, you better be living.
Amen, sister. You're right. If you're going to talk about Him, then you better know Him and believe Him to the point that you adjust your life to what He says, not what you think.
Amen.
That's right.
Okay, there's a lot of folks that have been led straight to hell. Pray after me and you'll be saved.
Yeah.
How many folks have heard that?
Yeah.
That's garbage. All right, that's garbage. Pray after me. I can't save you. Repent and believe, you'll be saved. But don't pray after me and think you're going to get anything.
Amen.
All right? You better believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You better trust Him.
Amen.
Don't say, well, we have Abraham as our father. I have a prayer. I have a religious system. I go to such and such church, and my grandmama bought that pew, and so I'm going to heaven because she was a saint. That don't mean you are, you serpent, you viper.
You don't inherit it.
You don't inherit it. Amen. God has no grandchildren.
Amen.
He only has children. Ain't no grandchildren with God. I love my grandchildren. All right? But if they don't surrender to Jesus Christ, they'll die and go to hell. I love my children. But if they don't repent, turn from their wicked ways, then they will die and go to hell.
Amen.
All right? Whether it's the virus or a train wreck, I don't know. None of my business. All right? That your lips will not save you.
No.
All right? But when you turn your heart to Him,
amen,
that's what saves you. When you really trust Him enough, not to just say it, but to live it. See, in church, we have so many people that speak it and
that's
don't live it.
That's it.
All right? And we have lost a generation or more of people to the lie. Repeat after me, and
amen,
you'll be saved. I challenge you to find that in the Bible. Pray. Jesus never said, pray after me. He said, pray in this manner, and He gave us a sample of prayer, what it should look like, right? But He didn't say, pray after me, and you'll be saved. John, as he was continuing to speak in the bottom part of verse 8 and verse 9, God is able of these stones to raise up the children. That's what John the Baptizer said, all right? John the Baptizer said, hey, you Hebrew folks, you think you're something because you got your father Abraham? God, Jesus Christ, is able to raise up stones, living stones. He's able to raise up stones of His children unto Abraham. Oh, praise God. Verse 9. And now also the axe is laid to the root of these trees. Church, wake up. Wake up.
Amen.
You're in the vine, you haven't been producing fruit. What did Jesus say? I will cut you off.
Amen.
I will cast you out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Right.
They were in the vine. They confessed it with their mouth. They said, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many great things in your name? Haven't we prophesied and made preachers? Right? Didn't we preach in the name of Jesus Christ? And God said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Their lifestyle was a sinful lifestyle.
Amen.
They worked sin in their lives.
Amen.
You go through Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and following. He goes through that list. He says, anybody living in those things has no inheritance in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I don't care what you call yourself. If you're living that way, you have no expectation of eternity. Oh, well, eternal glory. You've got an expectation of eternity, but it's going to be really hot and very uncomfortable.
Amen.
Amen. Right. He says, every tree, as he says at verse 9 of Luke chapter 3, and now also the axe is laid to the root of these trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. What happens to the tree that doesn't bear fruit? What happens to the one who's in the vine that doesn't bear fruit? Jesus told one, John the Baptizer told the same story, same ideal. It's time that we did something to start bearing some fruit, didn't it?
Amen.
Now, I have never seen a fruit tree in the middle of a field. We got one that lives right across the street from us. It's a lone apple tree. There's not another apple tree for miles. Every year when that apple tree starts to bloom, I don't see it out there sweating, going, apples, apples, and make apples grow. Right? Blooms just come on it. Bees pollinate it. And guess what grows? Little green apples. Amen. And they're nasty. I mean, they're the bitterest thing you ever wanted to chew on. But they still grow. Right? Now, that tree doesn't try to make apples grow. But because it's an apple tree, it grows. If you are a real Christian and you're applying the Word of God, you got your roots sunk down into the earth of God, guess what's going to come off of you? Fruit.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Fruit is. You ain't got to strain to make it happen. You got to trust God and it happens.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But what the apple tree has to do, has got to do every year, it's got to stay in its place. Mm-hmm. It's got to let those roots that are underneath the ground that nobody sees, it's got to suck in those nutrients. It's got to suck in all the stuff that makes it grow.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then God takes care of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your taproot, church? What are you tapping into? What is it that you're listening to in your life? And if you don't know what you're listening to, wait a little bit and check out your own fruit. All right? I'm not going to check your fruit for you. Ain't none of my business. Amen? Check your own fruit. What kind of fruit's coming off of you?
Mm-hmm.
Meanness, hatefulness, backbiting, nastiness? Is that what's coming out of you? You might need a transplant. Amen. You might need to get born again.
Mm-hmm.
This is Palm Sunday. And it truly is the first time in history since Jesus died on the cross, since that next, after Jesus died, a year later, Jesus right again, it has been celebrated by the body of Christ ever since then. Yeah, I was looking up, even in the plague in Europe, there was only a small area that it was infected. But guess what they did on Palm Sunday? They worshiped together, even though they were dying of the plague. They still worshiped together. I looked hard to find a time in history where the church didn't come together on Resurrection Sunday. And I don't care what the name of your church is. I'm talking about those who are blood bought, washed by the blood, reborn through Jesus Christ. Those folks. This year we're being told to stay in your homes. This year we're being told that if you don't, people are going to die. I don't know. I can't tell you. You do what's right for you. All right? But as for me and my house, I'm going to be right here, baby.
Amen.
I'm going to be right here behind this pulpit. I'm going to be preaching a resurrection service. I'm going to be loving whoever comes into this place, and I'm going to love them with an abandonment, a crazy kind of love. Just right on. I don't care if you got snot running out your nose. I'm going to love you anyhow. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if you got holes in your clothes. I'm going to love you right there anyhow. I don't care if you drive up here in a Rolls Royce and you got more diamonds on your fingers than there. There you go. I'm going to love you anyhow. All right? So, even as I'm saying that, God just told me, shut up. All right, I like that because he speaks to me like I know him.
Yes, amen.
He said, listen, this is the end of it right here. You don't need to say no more. And I don't need to say no more. Let me tell you this, I love you. Jesus loves you.
Amen.
And this ain't shocking him.
Sure.
He's not up on the throne of heaven scratching his head. I wonder what happened. No, he knows exactly what time it is.
That's right.
And I tell you, it's closer to the end than what you might think.
Amen.
You don't know. I don't know when that last trumpet's going to blow. I do know when it does happen, it'll be a twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get the oil in my lamp today.
Amen.
Right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I ain't going to wait until he comes in the middle of the night. I'm going to be ready when he comes. I'm not going to be a foolish virgin. I'm really not going to be. Yeah. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to be prepared for him.
Yes.
I pray that you will too. All right, rocks, are you going to cry out? Stones?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to cry out? John said, God can make stones into the children of Abraham. You're a child of Abraham. Jesus said, if these people, these Hebrew people, don't worship me this way, I'll call stones
right.
to worship me.
Paul
said, you're a living stone. A lot of Bible smart people will probably call up and say, I took the Bible out of way and I made it some way that doesn't mean. And I may have. But I do know the truth remains the same.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm not so smart of a teacher that I can't be taught.
Right.
But I'm not so dumb that I can't speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. And I know this, if the body of Christ, whether you be a Hebrew or you be a Gentile, because God is no discerner of who you are. He loves you.
Amen.
If you will call on His name, if you will repent, if you will turn from your wicked ways, God will hear.
Amen.
And He will heal.
That's right.
Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have a song.
Bless Him.
Dear Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You, Father God, for Your love and Your grace. And we come even now opening our hearts, Father. I pray that You would touch our hearts in a real, personal way right now.
Yes.
Father, since there is sin in me, I pray, Father God, cleanse me, wash me, make me free, that I can experience the liberty of love that You've given. Oh, I praise You, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank You, God, for being here with us today. Thank You, God, for Your Word. And Lord, let the stones cry out. We thank You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.